So many good things about the Lord that He tells us concerning Himself in His Word and in His world and through Christ. And one of the things we have been doing on Wednesday nights is studying the attributes of God. Just some things that God tells us about Himself that we would never guess or figure or even have faith about unless He told us. And, of course, shows us more and more as time goes on. And one of the attributes He has that we do not have is that He's present all the time for us. And I think one of the sins we have in our life is trying to impersonate the Lord in some of His qualities that we just don't have. Some of His qualities He does share with us. For example, He's loving. He shares us with us that love too. He's faithful. We can learn how to be faithful. He's merciful. We can be that way. But in terms of His being present everywhere, we're not to try to do that. And we're to let Him be God in every situation of life. And how wonderful to know He's there for us. And here for us this morning. And He was there for you last week and will be this week. He's very consistent in Himself. I want to share a time where I didn't feel like He was around me. It was my senior year in college. And I had made a commitment to student teach. Because I thought maybe the Lord wanted me to be an English teacher. I wasn't so good with the King's English, but I did like to read stories and find great themes in them. I like to teach grammar and all those things. So I signed up to be a student teacher in the public school system of the city of Cleveland. That's where all the teachers went at the college where I went. And so I was assigned to an inner city school. I was teaching some folks that were a little bit rough around the edges, roughnecks and such. I had 7th and 9th grade general studies, okay, not off the college studies, not academic studies, general, get it done and get in there and do it kind of students, and I grew to love them. But I did probably spend more time disciplining, as most teachers find themselves doing, teaching less about pronouns and nouns, more about don't punch your neighbor across the aisle, put that knife away. Those kind of things. At the time, I was away from any support system I had as a Christian. All my Christian friends were back at college. I couldn't find a church that I really could plug into during my student teaching time. I ended up going to a city mission on Wednesday nights to worship the Lord with people who I felt were quite desperate in the Lord. And that's the way I felt. So I went. And I lived in downtown Cleveland, kind of isolated from normal living, you might say. And things were very difficult. And in terms of faith in God, it felt like God was saying to me, for a while, you're going to be on your own. And you're not going to feel close to me at all. In fact, you're not going to be able to hear me very well in this time of isolation and difficulty and trial. And I was thinking at that time, boy, here I am, spring of senior year in college. Soon I'll be, my relationship with mom and dad will change. All my college friends, I probably won't see them very much. Even the students that I'm getting to teach, they're going to be gone. And I remember feeling like, you know, where's the consistency in life that I thought would be a part of who I was? I came across a quote by Johnny Erickson Tada, who wrote a book called When God Weeps, the subtitle being, Does God Care About Us in Our Suffering? And she made this quote after experiencing a terrible injury, which left her bedridden and wheelchair bound. She wrote this quote, God seems to have built us for significant, lasting relationships. But life constantly deprives us of the very things we were made for. Okay, and I don't know if you've ever felt that way. God has built us for significant, lasting relationships. But life seems to deprive us from the very thing that we were made for. And she wrote that comment after seeing person after person leave her hospital room and never come back. And, of course, she wasn't able to pursue them very well. And she had the thought, has God left me too? Has God left me too? And I don't know whether in your walk with God you have ever expressed that in a prayer or in a thought. I have found, as I've read other Christian leaders, people in Scripture and people more contemporary, whether you're talking about Billy Graham or A.W. Tozier or King David, that every once in a while in their trust in God, they go through a time where they feel like, hey, God doesn't seem to be around. And I don't know, I can't hear from Him. I pick up His word, I don't hear anything happening. When I pray, nothing, it seems like I'm talking to the wall. And I don't know whether the Lord is with me or not. I don't even know if I believe in Him anymore. Okay, these men, great men of God, I'm sure it happens to you or I on an occasional basis, that comes upon us. And we wonder if God is with us. Psalm 13, King David expressed it in a prayer. O Lord, will you forget me forever? And how long will you hide your face from me? That's a strange phrase. Hide your face from me. I never read that phrase much except in the Bible. I think I know what it means, though. When I was little and I would be not want to communicate with my parents and my brothers, maybe I was angry or wanted to just do my thing, and they would speak to me, and I would go like this. You know, I can't see. I don't want to talk. I don't want to do that. If a preacher, instead of preaching good news to people, would preach the whole sermon like this, I don't want to talk with God. I don't want to talk with anybody else. He would say, he's hiding his face from us. That's not good. We tend to do that person to person in a way of dealing with our own pain in a broken world. Maybe in your home or in your neighborhood, someone hides their face from you occasionally. But what if the Lord hides His face from you? That's when things get, oh my, this is trouble. You know, whatever happens, I don't want Him to hide His face from me. And that phrase is repeated about 8 times in the Psalms. To the people who trusted God, it felt like God, you are not with us, are you? And I, in preparing for this sermon, I always liked the passages in the Bible that said, well, the Lord's face shines upon us. It does say that, you know. And He's for us, He's not against us, like we heard this morning. And I was just wondering, Lord, do you really hide your face from us, or does it just feel that way when we go through a difficult time? And I felt like, at least in my office when I was doing the sermon, God said, at least to my heart, sometimes I hide my face so that people might seek me or know they need me. You know, so when you have that thought or that experience, don't panic. You're not the only one who has ever had it. King David had it, and Billy Graham had it. And if you have it too, it'll be a time for you to seek God and know Him. Psalm 77, there's 7 questions that are asked by the man who wrote that. And sometimes these are our prayers. Lord, will you reject us forever? Will God never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished? Has His promise failed for all time? Has the Lord forgotten to be merciful? And has He in His anger withheld His compassion? Sometimes it'll feel like that, even in your relationship with God. And you will cry out for help. And feel perhaps alone and afraid. It's a normal season to pass through. And sometimes as Christians, I'm so thankful that we talk about the faithfulness of God and victory and how we are more than conquerors in every setting of life. That is so true. I've seen that in many people's lives and in my own life. But if we just think that, because we try to be helpful, well, if you receive Christ, if we just pass on the message to people, if you trust Christ, your problems will be over. You'll just have good days. And you'll just feel closer and closer to the Lord all the time until you get to heaven. If you've ever thought that or heard that taught, you want to run away from that as fast as you can. Because that's not the truth from the Scripture. And it's certainly not the truth from everyday life. But is God a present help for us in time of trouble when it seems like He's not? Where is He when it hurts? What does God have to say to us about that? Surprisingly, He says that He'll meet us not only in our joys, but when things are very, very bad. He's very, very there. Even though we might not see his face or hear his voice at the time. One wonderful truth from the Bible is this, that God suffers with us in our times of pain or isolation, or when we think he's not there. He suffers with us and longs for that reconciling walk that, of course, only he could provide. God's word tells us that when we are distressed, he too is distressed. That's from Isaiah chapter 66. When we're distressed, he's distressed. And I think because he loves us tremendously, he may be even more distressed than we are. I heard a hospital chaplain tell of his experience in hospital emergency rooms. He would often go and just pray with people right as their trial began, you know, coming into the emergency room. And he said in one case, a little four-year-old boy had gotten a very bad cut on his arm, and his mom brought him in. And so there they were, waiting for stitches. And stitches is a very frightening word to the little children. So the chaplain prayed with the mom and the child, and he observed what would happen when the stitches came. And when the child wiggled, the mom wiggled. And when the child said, ouch, the mom said, ouch. And when the child cried, the mother cried a little more deeply even than when the child cried. And the chaplain was looking at that, and he's thinking, I wonder if that's the way the Lord treats us in our times of great pain and isolation. As parents, sometimes when we discipline our children, we say this phrase, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I think when we go through difficulties that life brings, God is saying to us, you hurt, but this hurts me more than it hurts you. Because he cares. He loves us even more than we'd try to survive. He wants to bring himself to our situation of not hearing him or pain or isolation. We could cast our cares on him even when we don't see him or feel him, because he cares for us. Hebrews 4 says he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. The word sympathize means have the same feeling as we do. Okay, so I don't know what kind of feelings you've had this week. Sometimes we minimize feelings in the Christian life and we say, feelings are important. It's what you think, you know, what you believe. But unless you connect your feelings with your thinking with your emotions, what God made us as whole people to have them both be under his care. So whatever feelings you've had this week, God feels the same way as you. Whatever feelings you'll have this coming week, the Lord sympathizes. He feels the same way in the boat you are in. And sometimes to pray to him, Lord, I'm in the valley, I'm in the fog. Restore my soul. Restore my soul. And the people I shared who had times of feeling away from God, King David, Billy Graham, A.W. Tozier, they all give testimony that, you know, after a season, after a time, the joy of their salvation returns. They hear God's voice again, more clear than ever. And they know his friendship in a great and powerful way. It gives us the breakthrough truth from the book of Hebrews, which has meant a lot to so many people. And from Hebrews chapter 13, God tells us this. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We turn our back on God, he's not quick to leave. Okay. Other relationships may have come and gone. The Lord abides. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think that can help us thrive in life and certainly increase our faith. There's three tools that I encourage you to seek out when you have your time of feeling away from God. Maybe for some it's this week. You know, it was this past week. I think in any given church, as people gather, probably up to 25%, 50% of the people who come and worship God don't feel really close to God, either in that particular past week or maybe even in that particular service. God's still faithful.
and he's speaking, even though his face may be hidden.
One tool is through prayer. We say, Lord, I seek you and I talk with you, even though I don't know if you're there or not. Our faith reaches out to him. One Christian leader said, when he feels away from the Lord in any certain place or circumstance, he confesses what's true in his prayer. He says, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. How true about God. We could say that about him. We can't say that about everybody. Sometimes people are so disoriented, they don't even know if they're in that place. But the Lord is in the place. The Lord is in the place. He says he prays that until he begins to know God's compassion again. He's just praying the truth about God. The Lord is in this place. I found God's people also a great resource of help when perhaps you as a person don't feel close to the Lord. If you put yourself around other Christians, which is why church and fellowship is so important, if you put yourselves around other Christians, you'll hear God in a more likely manner than if you remain isolated. Because he works through people all the time. And I find that in my own life. Folks are like, well, I've read the Bible and didn't feel close to the Lord this week. If I spend 10 minutes, half an hour with another believer and they share a little bit something, my faith grows. All of a sudden, well, Brother Joe, he's not hiding his face from me, so maybe the Lord won't hide his face from me. God makes a breakthrough through other people. And then through God's word itself, he's faithful to tell us more of himself. And read until he speaks to you. And just be open. We know our faith comes by hearing God's word. And so don't put your Bible away for too long, but pick it up and taste and see the Lord is good. Bill Hybels tells a story about liking to sail on Lake Michigan. He's a preacher. He also likes to do the sailboat thing. Very dangerous, I think. But he goes on the sailboat. He says whenever there's a storm, he always heads for shore right away because he don't like to be in the storm. We could identify with that. Lord, give us a trial-free week this week. Yeah. Often the Lord doesn't answer that prayer with a yes. But he says when the storm comes, he heads for shore. But sometimes his dad goes sailing with him, and his dad is an expert sailor. He sailed in a sailboat one time across the Atlantic Ocean. Very formidable task. And even during that time, through a particular hurricane that came upon the Atlantic Ocean. So when he's in the boat with his dad, and they go on Lake Michigan, and a storm comes up. Oh, might be a little anxious, but not as much anymore. I've seen my dad do great things. And remembering the faithfulness of God helps us in a storm. He gets to see his dad go to work. His dad always gets him into the safe harbor. And our Lord is committed to that between you and I. And I don't know if you listen. I listened to the news a little bit through all the turmoil our country has been through, the question is often put, how safe are we? Like that question, how safe are we? And I would say, I'd be glad to answer that question from the Bible. Okay, without God, we are not safe at all. Without God, we are not safe at all. With God, we are very safe. And Psalm 46 says, though the waters roar and the earth gives way, God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in time of trouble. I hope that promise from Jesus, ever-present help in time of trouble, and his promise, he'll never leave us or forsake us, will carry your faith through at a time where you feel far, far away from God. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He'll be there for you. And when the truth of life hits you, when you seem to have been built for lasting friendships, and life deprives you of those, remember God provides himself as Lord and Savior and friend and refuge.
and He will be your ever-present help in time of trouble. And cast yourself on Him today and wait for His good answer. Let's pray together as God's people. Lord, in a moment we'll sing, Jesus Never Fails. And Lord, we do fail every day, each week. Others fail around us, and sometimes that we're flipped out about that. We can't believe that somebody else actually failed. But Lord, You will work on people's behalf and in our behalf, as even through times of not hearing from You. Thank You for Your ever-present ministry, that You'll be with us wherever we go this week. The Lord will be in that place. And might we turn to You, seek You. And Lord, this morning, if there's some who would honestly say, the Lord's never been in my life ever. He still remains a stranger. Might they say, Jesus, would You never leave me or forsake me? Would You come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord? Let Your Holy Spirit bring new life, Father, where there is none, in hearts today. And help us to rejoice in Your faithfulness, Lord. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.